A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 231. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion of Wallace and Gromit. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we are indeed continuing our trip through some remarkable adventures of two of Britain's best-loved animated characters. These are claymation short films, about 25 to 30 minutes each. They're from the BBC. They span a period from 1990 to 2008 was the most recent one. And as we said last time, there's some wacky science fiction concepts in there, quite enough to make us want to turn our attention to this show. Hopefully it's as popular with our listeners as it is with us. We'll see as we get on with the rest of the discussion.
Yes, there's some wonderful stuff here, and it is actually quite heavy on the science fiction, more than I would have thought coming back looking at it again. And I'll just point out that we are considering those 4 half-hour shows to be the main series, and then other things like the theatrical movie that was in the cinemas and so on to be spin-offs. And we will mention those as well, of course.
Yes, that's right. There are several spin-offs, but we're concentrating on the 4 original TV films.
Yes. A Close Shave came out on December 24th, 1995. It was about 31 minutes. And it gave us Wallace and Gromit having just started a window washing business. And once again, they had many of their wonderful inventions. And Wallace meets a character called Gwendolyn Ramsbottom. And of course, he falls in love with her quite quickly. She was voiced by Anne Reed, and this was the first time that we had a speaking character other than Wallace in a Wallace and Gromit show. She was the owner of a wool shop, which was interesting because there was a wool shortage on at the time, but she seemed to have quite a bit there.
Yes, that's right. So they're not only are they cleaning her windows, they're purchasing their wool because Gromit's quite a keen knitter. And, of course, Gwendolyn has a dog of her own, the rather sinister and secret Preston, who seems to be up to something rather mysterious, which might explain the disappearance of numerous sheep. And the appearance of a character called Shaun the Sheep, who turns up in Wallace and Gromit's house and initially marks his presence by leaving his bite marks in pretty much everything in their house, including their treasured crackers and cheese, but also several other items as well. So we've got 2 other non-speaking parts to go with the silent comedy of Gromit.
Yes, that's right, because both Preston, the dog who's sort of a bully character, and also Shaun the Sheep, who's the sort of innocent character who initially is a nuisance but becomes more of a friend to Wallace and Gromit as time goes on. So we have these 3 different non-speaking characters that show lots of character and lots of physical comedy and humor and the rest of it. And now 2 speaking characters who are very much at the center of things.
And once again, in A Close Shave, we're set up for a rather dramatic and thrilling conclusion. Let's say that this time there will be motorcycle stunts, there will be Gromit's flying machine, and there will be a terrifying knitting machine that runs amok and threatens all of our heroes. But as ever, things will be tied up quite satisfactorily at the end. And it's another remarkable piece of animation, I think, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. We have very complicated and quite crazy things happening in the claymation medium. and it all looks quite wonderful, and it's filled with this charming humor that is very British and is quite classic and in a way unique to Wallace and Gromit.
And I suppose also unique is the fact that they keep winning Oscars, which I don't think any of our other shows have ever done, Brian.
Yeah, certainly not a string of them like this. As we mentioned last time, The Wrong Trousers, the previous one, won the Academy Award for Best Animated Short Film. And this time, with A Close Shave, again it won the Oscar for Best Animated Short Film.
Ramsbottom. Gwendoline Ramsbottom.
Oh, charming. I'm Wallace, the Windows. Is this place yours?
My father left it to me, along with his debts and a few other things. He was an inventor.
Never. Well, I do a bit of that myself.
Oh.
Yes, remarkable. I mean, by that at that stage in 1996, Nick Park had two Oscars. I guess Aardman Animations had three because they had the one for Creature Comforts as well. So, I mean, it just highlights the enormous success of Wallace and Gromit, particularly in the sort of mid to early 1990s, rather. Bit of a gap then before we come to the final of the four films. They were involved obviously in other big productions with other shows. In particular, I think they were making the animated film Chicken Run. But in 2008, Wallace and Gromit returned to our screens at Christmas yet again, 25th of December, with A Matter of Loaf and Death, a 29-minute film. And this time, Wallace and Gromit have switched jobs. They're now running a bakery, the Top Bun Bakery, and they have a bread delivery service with yet again some fine Thunderbird-style initiation and launch sequences for the delivery van leaving the bakery and making its way around the streets and delivering everybody's bread.
I hope there is really a Top Bun Bakery somewhere, because it's such a wonderful name.
It is indeed, yes. And once again, Wallace is looking for love, and this time he doesn't have to look very long because he finds it with the former bread pinup girl, Paella Bakewell, voiced by the Coronation Street actress Sally Lindsay. But as ever, the course of Wallace's love does not run smooth, and Gromit is immediately suspicious of her intentions, especially as she brings her rather cosy woman's touch to their existing domestic bliss and the sort of women's decor that starts to overtake the Wallace and Gromit household rather disturbs Gromit. But she's got her own dog, a little poodle called Fluffles, another non-speaking part. And, events can take off, Brian.
Yes, indeed. And it turns out she can be connected to a string of murders of well-known bakers by the mysterious serial killer. Serial with a C, of course. And, of course, we're heading for another wonderful and complicated climax sequence. And we end up with Hammer Horror-type references and science fiction battles and mystery-type things and all sorts of things in this one.
Yes, that's right. It is, as they comment in one of the making-of documentaries, it's not so much a whodunit, it's more of a whodonut.
Of course it is, yes.
And more good baking gags. And indeed, we should say that, you know, A Matter of Loaf and Death, like many of the previous films, features numerous gags, puns, references. You have to keep your eyes on the screen when you're watching Wallace and Gromit, because these things will come up in the background very quickly, and some of them are just hilarious, Brian. They're well worth looking out for.
Oh, yes, and the weird and wonderful inventions in it are played for humor, and they're very well done. They're quite clever and quite neat to see it being done at all, but certainly being done in clay. So it's quite a neat visual display you get in each one.
And A Matter of Life and Death was the most watched program on British television in 2008. That's the scale of Wallace and Gromit. When they put something on at Christmas, it's the most watched show of the year. It was again nominated for the best animated short film, but it didn't actually win. But as we'll mention in a moment, he had already picked up another Oscar somewhere else.
And I think that brings us nicely into the spin-offs. Other things that have come up in this Wallace and Gromit franchise.
Yes, I mean, it's impossible to underestimate the enormous success that Wallace and Gromit has been for Nick Park and for Aardman and for the BBC. There have been a huge number of merchandising products. I mean, if we were to talk about toys, we'd probably be here all day. There have been so many Wallace and Gromit toys. But there's been some more programs produced from the franchise, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. In 2002, there was a series called Wallace and Gromit's Cracking Contraptions. It was a 10-episode series of 1 to 3 minute episodes that I think showed up online and in broadcast as well. At the time, there were only 3 Wallace and Gromit episodes, so we got in addition these little mini episodes where each one introduced an invention that Wallace had created and did something humorous with that, with both Wallace and Gromit in it. And there was also another invention-related thing much later in 2010, after many of these other things had happened. There was Wallace and Gromit's World of Inventions, and that was 6 30-minute episodes where Wallace and Gromit would take a humorous look at real-life inventors. And that had some filmed inserts that were more documentary style, with Ashley Jensen narrating them. We remember her from The 11th Hour. And they were framed by clips of Wallace and Gromit talking about the inventors.
Then we have another character, Shaun the Sheep, who appeared in A Close Shave and went off to have his own television show on children's television. Shaun the Sheep ran for 4 seasons, a massive 130 episodes, which are 7 minutes each, that began in 2007. And even that had a spin-off, Timmy Time, a spin-off from Shaun for even younger viewers, which started in 2009, 3 seasons, 80 episodes, 10 minutes each, enormous amounts of content spinning off from these 4 original Wallace and Gromit films that we've been talking about, Brian.
Yes, and some of those spin-offs were with only the non-speaking characters. So you have sort of these quite visual shows with no dialogue in them, which is quite different, but it's kind of neat that from where they started, we got to having things like that. It's also interesting with Peter Lord's involvement as one of the animators on Wallace and Gromit. As we mentioned last time, he did the character Morph for Vision On, which was a series that was initially aimed at deaf children. So it was a visual show that was doing a lot of things with no dialogue. So it's almost like this claymation genre is coming back to that again with some of these things like Shaun the Sheep and Timmy Time that do a lot of things without dialogue.
Yes, interesting stuff. And of course, their biggest hit spin-off we've yet to get to.
Yes, we have to mention, of course, and I'm sure many listeners are waiting for us to talk about this as we've been going through the other things. Wallace and Gromit, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit was a 2005 theatrical movie. It played in cinemas, and it was a Wallace and Gromit feature. It had a number of speaking characters this time, as well as non-speaking characters, with quite a well-known voice cast. And it did quite a bit of parody of the Hammer horror films. And that won their third Oscar for Best Animated Feature this time. So that's quite a run of Academy Awards. And that one was also quite a neat movie that very much carried on the spirit and the style of Wallace and Gromit, even though it was a little different in some ways because it was for a much longer full-length movie and with more speaking characters.
Oh, it's just terrific. I mean, as you say, Brian, it's a hilarious parody of all those Hammer horror cliches that we've come to know and love. It's beautifully done. The gags, the references, they come so thick and fast, and they're so well written. And of course, the voice cast is brilliant as well. Mark Gatiss is in there, but there's many, many others. The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, I mean, it's a film, so it's slightly outside our remit, but it is wonderful. And as you say, at this stage, Nick Park now had picked up his third Oscar. So remarkable work.
Yes, quite wonderful stuff, for sure. Shaun the Sheep had a movie of his own in 2015. There is actually a planned sequel that will most likely be coming up as well.
And it's been nominated for the Oscar. It just keeps on happening.
As we record, the Academy Awards haven't been given out yet. But yes, Shaun the Sheep, the Shaun the Sheep movie is yet again nominated for Best Animated Feature.
There was a moment at the BBC Proms in 2012 when there was a Wallace and Gromit special with Julia Knott's music, and then several other moments of Wallace and Gromit's classic moments being set to classical music. And this even became a touring musical show for a while. I don't know anybody who's seen it, but if you have, do please get in touch and tell us what it was like.
Yes, please do.
And according to the Wikipedia page, there are currently plans for a Wallace and Gromit Experience theme park, which will feature Wallace and Gromit, but also many of the other famous animated characters from the Aardman Studios. So all sorts of Wallace and Gromit out there. Plenty for you to look at in terms of spin-offs.
Oh, yes. And as we mentioned, there are toys and stuffed animals and all sorts of things like that. There were video games. I know in some cases doing sort of computer animation that mimicked the claymation quite well. And there have been comics, of course. There was a live theater show, even a science museum exhibit. So all sorts of things based on Wallace and Gromit.
Cracking stuff.
Are you still ballooning, Miss...
I do beg your pardon.
Oh, no, no. No, I mean the Bakelite balloon. Do you still fly it?
Oh, I see. No, not anymore.
Well, back to the grind, as it were. Goodbye, Miss Bakewell.
Oh, I'd rather say au revoir.
So that's going to bring us, I guess, to our very own cracking moments. The best, and dare we say it, if there is such a thing, the worst of Wallace and Gromit. The bits we liked and the bits we didn't like so much. Brian, which area would you like to start us off with?
Oh my goodness. The sense of humor in Wallace and Gromit is something that is very well done. Doing comedy can be very hard to get it just right, as we've said before on many occasions. But in this case, it hit a really lovely, charming humor with the banter of Wallace going back and forth with the sort of physical gesture interaction from Gromit, and the sort of sight gags of the inventions and the humor of the big climactic scenes that they often have. So it's rare that I mention the sense of humor for something first, but I really have to for this because it was quite wonderful.
It is. It's one of the most hilarious things you'll watch. As you say, Brian, the gags, the references, the little in-jokes, the puns, they come so fast. They're so beautifully written. The characters are so well delineated. It's the writing is just marvellous. The animation itself, I suppose if you look back at A Grand Day Out and compare it to the later films, you can see that it's a much cruder effort in comparison to the superlative stuff they were producing later on. But even that is rather charming in a way and adds to the charm of that wonderful first film. But certainly when they reach their best, it's the best possible claymation you'll ever see, I think, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. I think those middle two episodes, The Wrong Trousers and A Close Shave, are, I think, my personal favorites. And the quality of the animation, the claymation in them, is just wonderful. It's very fluid and very easy to watch without thinking about the animation and the way that it was done, or indeed to concentrate on that more and admire the detail and the fluidity and the timing that they get, which is really quite wonderful.
Yes, it's terrific stuff. And of course, at the heart of it, it has these two marvellous performances. The vocal performance of Peter Sellers, a national treasure. We wish him well, having recently turned 95. He brings a remarkable voice to Wallace. And then, of course, we have Gromit, the most expressive silent comedian that we've seen in many a decade. It's a wonderful performance, really, the way that he reacts, the way that he lets you know exactly what he feels about situations. It's difficult to talk about performances when we're talking about pieces of plasticine, but they're both remarkable, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And these are really quite well-written pieces as well. They're done in a very tight way. They play with the characters and the humor very well. And they tell their stories well and make us interested in these stories that are about, the small things. They have lots of little things happening in them, as well as the sort of adventure quality to them.
Yes, and we've mentioned that some of those little things are nods to classic British TV, and in particular to Thunderbirds. There's several launch sequences. There's Wallace being moved along sort of people transporters in a very Thunderbirds fashion. There's a love of Gerry Anderson stuff in Wallace and Gromit. And there's also that remarkable version, the claymation version at the end of A Matter of Loaf and Death, which reenacts the robot loader battle from the end of the film Aliens, which is a particular favourite of mine. I just think it's a splendid parody. So all that stuff that's in there as well, remarkable.
Yes, absolutely. There's just wonderful stuff in there, no question.
Have you any negative points to add to the list about Wallace and Gromit, Brian?
I don't have a lot. In A Matter of Loaf and Death, I was disappointed that they sort of went with fat jokes in a way for the Paella character. And that was, I think, not quite as interesting or well put together. That was sort of going a little bit the easy way out. But despite that, it was still a very good episode and tremendously fun stuff, with lots of great stuff in there for that character and for other things too.
Yes. Yeah, I suppose it's an interesting one. But as you say, there are plenty of other jokes which are perhaps much more more suitable and kinder and a lot funnier. So there's something to find in each of these four films that is wonderful.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There is very good stuff in all of those. Lots of great humor and wonderful crazy climax scenes and tremendously charming stuff.
Yes, the train chase at the end of The Wrong Trousers is a particular highlight for me. That and the forklift truck loader battle at the end of Loaf and Death.
Yes, but the one from A Close Shave, the big climax there with the knitting machine and the odd little airplane that Gromit is flying, It's wonderful stuff there. I can't not smile seeing that, even though I've seen it many times before.
So I guess we go into recommendations, and I suspect that our listeners know very well where we're going on this one, Brian. Would you like to go first again?
Sure. Definitely a strong recommendation from me. It's charming, it's funny, the claymation is very well put together and very nicely done. The writing and the performance of the voices and the claymation performances are really wonderful in it. They get lots of character and interaction out of those non-speaking characters in a way that's really very good. It's wonderful stuff. So strong recommendation for sure. If you haven't seen them, check them out. And if you haven't seen them for a while, come back to them. It's worthwhile.
You're absolutely right. Wallace and Gromit is as close to perfection as I think we've ever encountered on British Invaders. These four films are wonderful. You should have them in your collection. If you've not seen them, do yourself a favour and get them. Over here in the UK, less than a fiver for this complete collection has got to be the best bargain yet on British Invaders. But also do check out The Curse of the Were-Rabbit if you've not seen it, because it's a remarkably funny film with lovely parodies. So yeah, it's a very heavy double thumbs up from British Invaders. And as ever, do get in touch and tell us what you think. What's your favourite moment from Wallace and Gromit? Have you seen some of the cracking contraption spin-offs? Let us know. Should Shaun the Sheep the movie win the Oscar as well?
Yes, absolutely. Please do. So, in summary, Wallace and Gromit was a claymation series that introduced us to these two characters. Wallace, who is a northern Englishman who invents these strange contraptions and starts these odd little business ventures that range from washing windows to baking. And Gromit, his faithful sidekick and dog, who is very much part of the adventures and often is the smart one and is part of the business ventures. And we get to see these wonderful, charming little adventures with those two characters and the odd additional speaking character and a number of characters who don't speak. And it's all tied up with these crazy inventions and lots of charming British humor.
A truly remarkable set of shows, and one that you really have to have on your shelves. So next time we are staying with Peter Sallis rather strangely, because we're looking at a spooky show he made for children's ITV in the mid-70s, 1976 to be precise, a show called The Clifton House Mystery that promises us some supernatural shivers, I think, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. That will be a good one to talk about, because it's quite a neat, scary show there, and those are always fun. But before then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, and you can find our Facebook group if you search for British Invaders on Facebook. And please tell us what you like, what we're doing well, and what we could improve. If you have suggestions for things that we haven't covered that we should take a look at, let us know.
Excellent stuff on the Facebook group, and excellent stuff with several other geek-related podcasts, such as The Geek Card and Girls Gone WOW, which is a World of Warcraft show, which you will find on the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com. Do drop by, check out some of the shows, say hello, tell them that you've come from British Invaders, join in the fun.
Yes, it's a neat streaming radio service and a good network for us to be part of. So, thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and until next time, it's Eamon in the British Invaders Tower, saying it's time for a nice cup of tea, Brian, and perhaps some crackers and cheese.
Wensleydale?
Absolutely.